Hello and welcome back to the LifeSpring Family Bible. This is episode number 117. I'm Steve Webb, your host. Today we'll be finishing the book of Judges and beginning the book of Hebrews. Let's begin. Judges chapter 20. All the Israelites from Dan to Beersheba and from the land of Gilead left their homes and assembled together before the Lord at Mizpah. The leaders of all the people from all the tribes of Israel took their places in the assembly of God's people, which numbered 400,000 sword-wielding foot soldiers. The Benjaminites heard that the Israelites had gone up to Mizpah. Then the Israelites said, "Explain how this wicked thing happened." The Levite, the husband of the murdered woman, spoke up. "I and my concubine stopped in Gibeah in the territory of Benjamin to spend the night. The leaders of Gibeah attacked me and at night surrounded the house where I was staying. They wanted to kill me. Instead, they abused my concubine so badly that she died. I grabbed hold of my concubine and carved her up and sent the pieces throughout the territory occupied by Israel because they committed such an unthinkable atrocity in Israel. All you Israelites, make a decision here." All Israel rose up in unison and said, "Not one of us will go home. Not one of us will return to his house. Now this is what we will do to Gibeah. We will attack the city as the lot dictates. We will take 10 of every group of 100 men from all the tribes of Israel, and 100 of every group of 1,000, and 1,000 of every group of 10,000, to get supplies for the army. When they arrive in Gibeah of Benjamin, they will punish them for the atrocity which they committed in Israel." So all the men of Israel gathered together at the city as allies. The tribes of Israel sent men throughout the tribe of Benjamin, saying, "How could such a wicked thing take place? Now, hand over the good-for-nothings in Gibeah so we can execute them and purge Israel of wickedness." But the Benjaminites refused to listen to their Israelite brothers. The Benjaminites came from their cities and assembled at Gibeah to make war against the Israelites. That day the Benjaminites mustered from their cities 26,000 sword-wielding soldiers, besides 700 well-trained soldiers from Gibeah. Among this army were 700 specially trained left-handed soldiers. Each one could sling a stone and hit even the smallest target. The men of Israel, not counting Benjamin, had mustered 400,000 sword-wielding soldiers, every one an experienced warrior. The Israelites went to Bethel and asked God, "Who should lead the charge against the Benjaminites?" The Lord said, "Judah should lead." The Israelites got up the next morning and moved against Gibeah. The men of Israel charged out to fight Benjamin. They arranged their battle lines against Gibeah. The Benjaminites attacked from Gibeah and struck down 22,000 Israelites that day. The Israelite army took heart and once more arranged their battle lines in the same place where they had taken their positions the day before. The Israelites went up and wept before the Lord until evening. They asked the Lord, "Should we again march out to fight the Benjaminites, our brothers?" The Lord said, "Attack them." So the Israelites marched toward the Benjaminites the next day. The Benjaminites again attacked them from Gibeah and struck down 18,000 sword-wielding Israelite soldiers. So all the Israelites, the whole army, went to Bethel. They wept and sat there before the Lord. They did not eat anything that day until evening. They offered up burnt sacrifices and tokens of peace to the Lord. The Israelites asked the Lord, for the Ark of God's Covenant was there in those days. Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, was serving the Lord in those days. "Should we once more march out to fight the Benjaminites, our brothers, or should we quit?" The Lord said, "Attack, for tomorrow I will hand them over to you." So Israel hid men in ambush outside Gibeah. The Israelites attacked the Benjaminites that day. They took their positions against Gibeah just as they had done before. The Benjaminites attacked the army, leaving the city unguarded. They began to strike down their enemy just as they had done before. On the main roads, one leads to Bethel, the other to Gibeah, and in the field, they struck down about 30 Israelites. Then the Benjaminites said, "They are defeated, just as before." But the Israelites said, "Let's retreat and lure them away from the city into the main roads." All the men of Israel got up from their places and took their positions at Baal Tamar, where the Israelites hiding in ambush jumped out of their places west of Gibeah. 10,000 men, well-trained soldiers from all Israel, then made a frontal assault against Gibeah, and the battle was fierce. But the Benjaminites did not realize that disaster was at their doorstep. The Lord annihilated Benjamin before Israel. The Israelites struck down that day 25,100 sword-wielding Benjaminites. Then the Benjaminites saw they were defeated. The Israelites retreated before Benjamin because they had confidence in the men they had hid in ambush outside Gibeah. The men hiding in ambush made a mad dash to Gibeah. They attacked and put the sword to the entire city. The Israelites and the men hiding in ambush had arranged a signal. When the men hiding in ambush sent up a smoke signal from the city, the Israelites counterattacked. Benjamin had begun to strike down the Israelites. They struck down about 30 men. They said, "There's no doubt about it, they are totally defeated, as in the earlier battle." But when the signal, a pillar of smoke, began to rise from the city, the Benjaminites turned around and saw the whole city going up in a cloud of smoke that rose high into the sky. When the Israelites turned around, the Benjaminites panicked because they could see that disaster was on their doorstep. They retreated before the Israelites, taking the road to the wilderness. But the battle overtook them as the men from the surrounding cities struck them down. They surrounded the Benjaminites, chased them from Nohah, and annihilated them all the way to a spot east of Geba. 18,000 Benjaminites, all of them capable warriors, fell dead. The rest turned and ran toward the wilderness, heading toward the cliff of Rimmon, but the Israelites caught 5,000 of them on the main roads. They stayed right on their heels all the way to Gidom and struck down 2,000 more. That day, 25,000 sword-wielding Benjaminites fell in battle, all of them capable warriors. 600 survivors turned and ran away to the wilderness, to the cliff of Rimmon. They stayed there 4 months. The Israelites returned to the Benjaminite towns and put the sword to them. They wiped out the cities, the animals, and everything they could find. They set fire to every city in their path. Judges chapter 21. The Israelites had taken an oath in Mizpah, saying, "None of us will allow his daughter to marry a Benjaminite." So the people came to Bethel and sat there before God until evening, weeping loudly and uncontrollably. They said, "Why, O Lord God of Israel, has this happened in Israel? An entire tribe has disappeared from Israel today." The next morning, the people got up early and built an altar there. They offered up burnt sacrifices and tokens of peace. The Israelites asked, "Who from all the Israelite tribes has not assembled before the Lord?" They had made a solemn oath that whoever did not assemble before the Lord at Mizpah must certainly be executed. The Israelites regretted what had happened to their brother Benjamin. They said, "Today we cut off an entire tribe from Israel. How can we find wives for those who are left? After all, we took an oath in the Lord's name not to give them our daughters as wives." So they asked, "Who from all the Israelite tribes did not assemble before the Lord at Mizpah?" Now it just so happened that no one from Jabesh-Gilead had come to the gathering. When they took roll call, they noticed none of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead was there. So the assembly sent 12,000 capable warriors against Jabesh-Gilead. They commanded them, "Go and kill with your swords the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead, including the women and little children. Do this: exterminate every male, as well as every woman who has had sexual relations with a male, but spare the lives of any virgins." So they did as instructed. They found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young girls who were virgins. They had never had sexual relations with a male. They brought them back to the camp at Shiloh in the land of Canaan. The entire assembly sent messengers to the Benjaminites at the cliff of Rimmon and assured them they would not be harmed. The Benjaminites returned at that time, and the Israelites gave to them the women they had spared from Jabesh-Gilead, but there were not enough to go around. The people regretted what had happened to Benjamin because the Lord had weakened the Israelite tribes. The leaders of the assembly said, "How can we find wives for those who are left? After all, the Benjaminite women have been wiped out. The remnant of Benjamin must be preserved. An entire Israelite tribe should not be wiped out. But we can't allow our daughters to marry them, for the Israelites took an oath saying, 'Whoever gives a woman to a Benjaminite will be destroyed.' However, there is an annual festival to the Lord in Shiloh, which is north of Bethel, east of the main road that goes up from Bethel to Shechem, and south of Libona." So they commanded the Benjaminites, "Go hide in the vineyards and keep your eyes open. When you see the daughters of Shiloh coming out to dance in the celebration, jump out from the vineyards. Each of you catch yourself a wife from among the daughters of Shiloh, and then go home to the land of Benjamin. When their fathers or brothers come and protest to us, we'll say to them, 'Do us a favor and let them be, for we could not get each one a wife through battle.' Don't worry about breaking your oath. You would only be guilty if you had voluntarily given them as wives." The Benjaminites did as instructed. They abducted 200 of the dancing girls to be their wives. They went home to their own territory, rebuilt their cities, and settled down. Then the Israelites dispersed from there to their respective tribal and clan territories. Each went from there to his own property. In those days, Israel had no king. Each man did what he considered to be right. Hebrews chapter 1. After God spoke long ago in various portions and in various ways to our ancestors through the prophets, in these last days he has spoken to us in a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he created the world. The Son is the radiance of his glory and the representation of his essence, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. And so, when he had accomplished cleansing for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Thus he became so far better than the angels, as he has inherited a name superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have fathered you"? And in another place, he says, "I will be his Father, and he will be my Son." But when he again brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And he says of the angels, "He makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." But of the Son he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and a righteous scepter is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. So God, your God, has appointed you over your companions with the oil of rejoicing." And, "You founded the earth in the beginning, Lord, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you continue. And they will all grow old like a garment, and like a robe you will fold them up, and like a garment they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will never run out." But to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve those who will inherit salvation? Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken through angels proved to be so firm that every violation or disobedience received its just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was first communicated through the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, while God confirmed their witness with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. For he did not put the world to come, about which we are speaking, under the control of angels. Instead, someone testified somewhere, "What is man that you think of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him lower than the angels for a little while. You crowned him with glory and honor. You put all things under his control. For when he put all things under his control, he left nothing outside of his control. At present, we do not yet see all things under his control, but we see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by God's grace he would experience death on behalf of everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For indeed, he who makes holy, and those being made holy, all have the same origin, and so he is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, 'I will proclaim your name to my brothers. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you.' Again he says, 'I will be confident in him.' And again, 'Here I am with the children God has given me.' Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he likewise shared in their humanity, so that through death he could destroy the one who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and set free those who were held in slavery all their lives by their fear of death. For surely his concern is not for angels, but he is concerned for Abraham's descendants. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest in things relating to God, to make atonement for the sins of the people. For since he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted." And so today we saw the ending of the book of Judges. Isn't that interesting, the rationalization that took place in the last chapter? If you don't voluntarily give your daughters, then it's okay. And then the book of Hebrews began with Paul giving a wonderful exposition of the deity and humanity of Jesus. That's a great start to the book of Hebrews. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And I believe that tomorrow will be the official one-third of the way through the Bible for all of us. So far, it's been a great journey, hasn't it? Thank you so much for being part of it. I'm Steve Webb. God bless you. This has been an In Touch Productions podcast.